everybody, and welcome in to another podcast right here on Sports Talk Chicago, as today we talk with Mike Hopper of Bloomberg Associates about his job, about the business around sports, and also some talk about expansion franchises and where each league is considering going. It's a very interesting conversation coming up, and I'm so glad that you're here joining us, listening in today. Before we get started, make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zagluel. Today's show is brought to you by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. Call 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for adults and children. Moochie World, creativity at its finest. And by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Now that the 2018 season is over, get ready for 2019, the team's 20th anniversary season. Season tickets go on sale in March. Well, today I'm really excited about this interview because usually on the show we'll talk to athletes and analysts and we'll get their opinions on the sports world, but we never actually go back and talk about the logistical side, the business side of sports. And that's what you'll be getting today when we talk to a sports consulting pro at Bloomberg Associates. And he's had many jobs before. He's helped recruit all-star games to New York City. This guy's the real deal. He's had experience in sports and politics and intersects and combines those careers into what he does today, which is helping out cities and helping out mayors and city councils recruit sporting events to their cities. So you'll find out the intricate details about how cities receive sporting events. We'll talk about some expansion franchises like the Las Vegas Golden Knights. We'll also talk about teams moving to different cities like we've seen with the Chargers and the Rams and soon to be the Oakland Raiders going to Las Vegas. So there's lots going on in the sports business world and that side of things, and we'll have our guest today break it all down coming up in just a moment. At this time, I'd like to thank you, the listener, for continuing to support my efforts. I encourage you, if you haven't already, to subscribe to the website or find us on iTunes and Google Play and write us a review or leave us a 5-star rating. Again, though, thank you for all of your support, and please enjoy what's to come. And with that, it's time for our special guest. He began his sports business career with the New York Yankees in 2001. By 2003, he became a part of Mayor Michael Bloomberg's operations department in New York City. After 7 years of serving the mayor, he headed New York City's sports marketing department, organizing bids for the 2013 MLB All-Star Game, Super Bowl 48, and the 2015 NBA All-Star Game. Today, he provides sports consulting services at Bloomberg Associates, assisting mayors and city leaders to develop relationships with professional sports leagues. Please welcome Mike Hopper to the show. Mike, how are you doing today? And thank you for being here on the show.
I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having me.
So to start today, Mike, knowing that you consult for expansion franchises, what have been your impressions on the Vegas Golden Knights and their amazing success in their first year? Because before there had been this idea or this stereotype that Vegas and sports don't go together, but the Knights have found a way to make it work. So what are your thoughts on the Knights and what they put together down there?
I continue to be impressed by the Golden Knights and looking forward to what they're going to do in their second season with just the start of the NHL earlier this week. They have put together a great plan and a great strategy for any expansion franchise to follow when it comes to relating to the local market, listening to what the residents of that market are interested in, and also being cognizant of the world around them. The pre-show that goes on before a Knights game can only be described as perfect for Las Vegas, and they do it exceptionally well. They have adopted and understood what their home market's all about and what those fans expect to see. So I think you're going to continue to see the Golden Knights set a trend for other expansion teams and other teams in the NHL and leagues around the world to follow. And I'm excited to see what they're going to do this year.
You know, we're talking about Las Vegas here, and I know that the Raiders are moving there next year. What do you think that the Raiders can take away from the Knights to ensure that they're going to be okay once they make the move?
So I think a little bit different situations. The Golden Knights, they are an expansion franchise. This is their first and only home. So I think the residents immediately saw a way to relate to that franchise. The residents of Las Vegas for quite some time have been a bit overshadowed by the tourism industry of Las Vegas. And I think the residents saw this as an opportunity to relate to a team and a franchise that will carry their name on the front of their uniforms wherever they go. So now you've got the Raiders coming into town. They need to establish themselves not only with the locals, but then establish themselves in the market. So I think the Raiders can learn a lot from the way the Golden Knights went about it, but the Raiders also come to the market with their own history. I'm sure the Black Hole will follow them from Oakland. So they are going to be a new part of this market, and they're going to have to come up with their own bells and whistles and excitement to build around their games.
Mike Hopper here on Sports Talk Chicago. And Mike, I wanted to talk to you about this idea that sports just don't work in certain cities. Do you see that as a valid claim? Because obviously, just talking about the Knights, they've been able to sort of defy that idea. But is that a valid idea? Is that something that we can see in certain cities today, the fact that sports just will not work in certain ones?
So I think each city has its own unique identity, and it's got its own foundation, its own building blocks that any type of professional sports team needs to be aware of and tap into to have success in their market. You can't be a team or a major event, for that matter, and not recognize the local cuisine, the local culture. Even throughout the U.S., forget on a global basis, but in the U.S., we use different words. We say things differently. So if you're going to be a new local team, you need to speak the way the locals do. You need to adopt that city and become a part of the fabric of that city. So while there are some sports that have challenges in the sport themselves, building awareness and notoriety and kind of breaking through what the big five sports in the U.S., their space there, the MLB, NFL, NHL, NBA, and then I put MLS into that group now, they dominate the markets. So if you're more of a niche sport, a arena football league, the lacrosse leagues, rugby's growing, you've got to find a way to break through that clutter to have success in that market. So I think different sports have different challenges, but if you identify your bases in those cities, you adopt those bases, and you really pay attention to the heartbeat of those cities, I think you can find success.
You know, speaking of some cities that don't support new franchises, right now the LA Chargers are having some trouble getting fans to come out to their games. And what I find interesting about that entire situation is that you've got the Rams who moved to LA as well, and they're doing great. They've never been better in regards to attendance and as far as team play as well. So why haven't the Chargers been able to capture that lightning in a bottle and continue to produce lots of fans and lots of turnouts in their games in LA?
Recently from Coach Lynn, the head coach of the Chargers, right, is winning changes everything, right? So you've got a Rams team that is 4-0 this year. They look like the reincarnation of the greatest show on turf of the old St. Louis Rams, right? And it is excitement. It is the LA Coliseum. It is a lot of different pieces that go into the Rams being exciting in Los Angeles. I think the Chargers walked into a little bit different situation. Certainly the venue that they play their home games in is much different than the Coliseum. You're looking at a venue that's about 25, maybe 30,000 seats versus the 80,000, 90,000 that's the Coliseum. So you immediately have put them on a smaller scale when you measure them against the Rams. But I think the Chargers are doing the right things in the market. They are doing good community outreach. They're getting their players out there on important issues. I think what you're seeing there is they are building their base so that when both teams move into the new facility that's being built in Los Angeles, the Chargers will have their own fans. The same way the Jets and Giants have very different fans in New York. In LA, you've already got Clippers and Lakers fans, right? So I think the Chargers are building their base in Los Angeles. I think they probably could have done a better job in building their story because they were originally a Los Angeles team. When they were first conceived, they played their first year in Los Angeles. So this could have been a bit more of a homecoming story for them versus they were the second team. Don't forget you had the Raiders as a potential coming back to Los Angeles too. So a big story there that I think the Chargers were always one of the teams that were mentioned less. And now they've got to go ahead and they've got to start to rebuild their base in that city. And by the time they move into the new stadium in 2020, I think they're going to have a strong showing there.
You know, in your opinion, I mean, I know that the Chargers were one of the first teams in Los Angeles, but after 1 year, they moved to San Diego and they've been there from the 1960s until as of late. Was it the right move? Was it feasible for the Chargers to move back to LA right now?
So I don't know if they didn't take the opportunity at this moment, it likely would have never been available to them again, right? So this is a situation where the ownership of the Chargers needs to get together and make a decision about where they see their long-term future. There is probably many hours we can have about the stadium situation in San Diego and whether it was something that the ownership of the Chargers were interested in and looking at all the options with the city and the government there and even private ownership of a stadium to determine whether that was the right long-term home for them. I wasn't at the table for those negotiations, so I don't know what the long-term focus was either in San Diego or in Los Angeles, but it's clear now that the ownership of the Chargers thought that their long-term future and long-term value of the franchise would be better suited in Los Angeles.
And Mike, moving to the MLB, there's lots of talk right now over expansion in that league, and cities like Charlotte and Portland have been named as possible expansion cities. So which city do you think will be the next one to house a Major League Baseball team?
So this is a really interesting topic for me. I've done a lot of work with Major League Baseball, so this is close to my heart on these. So I think, you know, as Commissioner Manfred describes it, the first thing they need to do is figure out what's going on in Tampa Bay and Oakland. And both of those cities and both of those franchises are nearing decisions on potential venues in those cities. So once they've got those two those markets decided, then I think they'll start to look at growth. And as much as I hear Charlotte and Portland mentioned, and I think Portland's really put together a very interesting potential ownership and development group up there, I'm more intrigued by international cities there. So are we going to see a new franchise awarded to Montreal? Mexico continues to be a very hot market for Major League Baseball, whether it's Mexico City, where I did some work with Major League Baseball there, or in Monterrey, where they're going to play 8 or 9 spring training and regular season games this year. You've got a market that is baseball savvy, that are interested in the sport and understand it. So when you start to think about expansion, looking at the U.S. domestic leagues and thinking who's going to be the first one to put a full-time franchise internationally is even more exciting.
Shifting now to your personal career, I know that you started as a community relations executive with the New York Yankees, and now you're a sports consultant with Bloomberg Associates. So how'd you get to where you are today, from starting with the Yankees to right now being with Bloomberg and being this big-time consulting sports guy?
So the Yankees was just perseverance, sports management major that I knew I always wanted to work for the Yankees. That was always the goal. And I basically just I harassed the hiring manager at the Yankees until he finally told me he would offer me a position if I stopped calling him. So I took him up on that. And my first job with the Yankees was in media relations, and then I moved over to corporate and community relations. And part of the responsibility in that job was taking care of the VIP guests at the old Yankee Stadium and Mr. Steinbrenner's guests. So that's I really got a great kind of entry into the world of sports and the executives around sports. And interestingly, one of the guests that I made sure was taken care of well at Yankee Stadium was Mayor Bloomberg, and an opportunity became available to me to join his operations team at City Hall. So I left the world of sports, worked in politics for a few years, and then again an opportunity became available to me to run the Sports Commission for New York City. So this is the entity within New York City. Within New York City that bids on major events like Super Bowls and All-Star Games, like you mentioned in the lead. And it was a great opportunity for me to combine my experience in government and my experience in sports. And that really led to some insights that I use now when I'm developing relationships and working on solutions at the intersections of sports and government. Making sure that government officials, the heads of convention and visitors bureaus, the heads of economic development for cities are aware of all the opportunities available to them when they are negotiating agreements with sports teams or to bring in a major event. And on the opposite side of the table, working with leagues like Major League Baseball, like the NFL, to make sure they have a better understanding of how to enter a market, who are the civic groups they should be working with, what are the issues that are important to the residents that may be impacted by their event. These are conversations that have not been had previously, at least in my experience, and getting everybody around the table now to have these really candid and in-depth discussions about impact and opportunities has led to some really great events that have both an economic and a social impact in cities around the globe.
And in your case, going from sports to politics and back to sports, how valuable was it for you to be involved in both politics and sports and have both of those viewpoints coming into a job that you do today?
Yeah, there's certainly crossover in both markets. And as I speak to friends and colleagues that work at Fortune 500 companies, I think I'd put them in the mix as well, where you've got sports, politics, and big business all really with the same goals, with the same focus, trying to achieve a lot of the same things, but they think they speak different languages. So being able to sit at the table and in some cases decipher what one is saying for the other, in other cases making sure that each party knows the opportunities that are available by working together. This is that conversation between sports and government can sometimes be a contentious one. But really, when you get down to it, it is one that is ripe with opportunity, and you've just got to make sure that each side sees it for that.
And I had also mentioned in your bio earlier that you were responsible for recruiting the Super Bowl, MLB All-Star Game, and NBA All-Star Game to the New York area. How were you able to make New York such a center of attention with sports over this past decade?
So those are all really exciting events. And what's interesting about New York City from an event perspective and from a tourism perspective, we always were under the impression that they all wanted to be here in New York. If you own a big event, you want to host it in New York. If you are a world traveler, at some point you are going to travel to New York City. So it wasn't so much how do we attract the Super Bowl to New York City. It was how do we make the Super Bowl in New York City special? And that was really the interesting part of these. We worked very closely with the NFL, with our partners in New Jersey around the game itself, and a lot of different organizations throughout the five boroughs in New York City to make sure everybody got to experience a Super Bowl. And then we went ahead and we shut down part of Broadway and brought the NFL experience experience outdoors for the first time. And they've carried that on from city to city as part of Super Bowl Boulevard now. The same thing with Major League Baseball. In New York City, we were the first city that they did the red carpet parade with. And our first version of it, when the Yankees hosted the All-Star game in the last year of the old stadium, was on Fifth Avenue. And then when we hosted with Citi Field, we closed down 42nd Street, one of our busiest cross town streets in Manhattan, to have a red carpet parade for Major League Baseball and their All-Stars. So it was more about making these events special and memorable, not only for the players and the participants and their families, but tourists that came into the city.
You know, just going back to the Super Bowl coming to New York, how difficult was that for you to make happen? Because I know that in the past, the NFL prefers cities that have warmer climates or have a dome on the stadium. So how much convincing did you have to do to the NFL officials to allow that to happen?
So we had really good partners in the owners of the Jets and Giants that were very adamant that they wanted a Super Bowl. So they did a lot of the work with the NFL and the commissioner's office and their other owners on our behalf. But we certainly supplied them with any detailed information they needed. We made sure that to back up their work, we had a great bid. We wanted to make sure that the teams that were participating, the sponsors that would be coming in, the family and friends of players and owners and executives, they would get to experience the best of New York City and have a really great, terrific experience. So between Woody Johnson, the Maras and the Tishes on the Giants side, and a great bid that really showcased everything New York City was about, we were fortunate to get all of the other owners to give us a chance. And if I remember right, I think the weather on that night when the Broncos and Seahawks played was about 50 or 60 degrees at kickoff. So we lucked out.
So going to today, what are some projects that you are currently working on in conjunction with Bloomberg Associates?
So we just actually finished a really great project in Oakland. And this was an interesting one where you took the city of Oakland and they were looking to bid on or host major events, but without a specific strategy as to which ones their market would support or which events were really interested in coming into Oakland. So what we first did was we stepped back and we did a really in-depth stakeholder engagement process to understand what did the hotel community want out of an event, what did the civic group community want out of hosting a major event, and then looked at what were the unique aspects of Oakland that we could put forward in a bid that people would find interesting. If you're familiar with the city of Oakland, there's a great body of water right in the middle of Oakland called Lake Merritt. It is a competition quality lake for rowing. And it's also steps from what could be a host hotel. That sets Oakland apart from nearly any other city in the world that could host a rowing event. So with all of those pieces of information, we brought Oakland and U.S. Rowing together to make our case as to why Oakland should be the host of several of U.S. Rowing's major events. And fortunately, U.S. Rowing leadership understood exactly what we brought to the table. They understood the potential not only for participants, but what it meant for their brand to be in California. And Oakland just got done hosting a Masters National event that attracted more participants than any other U.S. rowing event had had and created an approximately $6 million economic impact in the city. These are new dollars that flowed into hotels and restaurants, and civic groups got to be a part of it and get out on the water too. So really a great case study for how you bring city and sport together to have a positive impact.
And how much does that mean to you? Because, I mean, Oakland, before trying to get into the live event space, couldn't do it. Then you help them, and they have this big economic impact on the city. How do you feel about Oakland becoming this giant magnet in regards to live events and knowing that it was because of you and because of your team that you made it happen?
Uh, tremendously proud, right? They are great people in the city of Oakland that are focused on these challenges. The head of their Convention and Visitors Bureau, Mark Everton, people within the mayor's office of operations, parks and recreation, everybody came together to play a role in putting this successful event in Oakland. So you only hope that, one, it leads to more success for them, and two, it's shown them a path forward to how they can be successful. And I think that mantra of bringing everybody around the table, working together towards common causes, is something they even take beyond event hosting and take it into their other government-type conversation. So I'm phenomenally proud of the work they've done out there and continue to stay in good relationship with them.
And on a final note, what's your advice to those trying to get into the sports consulting business and help make these impactful decisions for cities around the country?
The first advice is never say no. Anytime somebody in the industry asks you to do something, find a way to do it. It's either going to build your reputation as somebody that can get things done, or it's going to give you new experiences that you can take with you onto other careers within the industry. And then the other piece of it is actually have a good understanding of how wide the industry is. I listened to a couple of the podcasts in preparation for today's interview, and you've had agents on, and then you had Marcus Lemonis on, whose company Camping World is a sponsor of events, right? So understand that you can be on the agent side of it, you can be on the team or league side, you can be on the sponsor side, you can be on the graphic design side, creating amazing logos for events and Super Bowls and teams and leagues, right? So don't feel like the only path in is to work for a team or a league. Have a really wide understanding of the industry and then align that with what your specific interests are.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for being here on the show. The interview was so much fun, and it was a pleasure to have you on today.
It was great, John. Thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
What an honor it was to have Mike Hopper here on today's show as we talk with him about the ins and outs of the sports business side of things. We got into some specifics about expansion franchises and teams moving, and we also talked about where the next MLB franchise will be, and that was an interesting conversation because Mike has done some work with Major League Baseball already on selecting a city, so very exciting, very interesting guy, and so happy that he took some time to come on today's show. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports, and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zagluel. Also, make sure to subscribe to the website. You can type in your email in the subscription box on the homepage of the site, then click yes on the confirmation email, and from there, you'll be subscribed. You'll receive every new podcast and article directly to your email. And remember, Sports Talk Chicago is now on iTunes and Google Play. Simply search Sports Talk Chicago in the search box, and you'll find every podcast from the 2018 calendar year. Make sure to write a review or leave us a 5-star rating. Your support is greatly appreciated. And finally, you can now hear Sports Talk Chicago every Monday morning on Chicago Radio. Find us on 88.5 WHBK-FM Chicago every Monday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. We'll talk about all the latest happenings in Chicago sports, plus have special guests along the way. And what I'm really excited about in regards to the show is the fact that caller interaction is now possible. You can call in every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. and talk to me on the air about any Chicago sports issue you'd like. Simply dial 773-702-8424. Again, that's 773-702-8424 to call into the show. Thank you again for listening to today's show, and have a great day.